The Guardian. This podcast is sponsored by audible.co.uk, the number one online destination for digital audiobooks.
My name's Fiona Sampson, and I'm going to read Love by George Herbert. Love. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, ungrateful, ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and, smiling, did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says Love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says Love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. I've always admired George Herbert, and I've always felt slightly possessive about him because, like me, he grew up on the border between Wales and England. He was born in Montgomery and educated in Westminster and Cambridge, and ended up on Salisbury Plain, having given up a career in public life to be a rector of a small parish. And I think that suggests a real, you know, inner process. And what I love about his poetry is not just the sense of that inner process being gone through. This is a dialogue poem. So it's almost Plato's technique, that sense of you get to the punchline by a series of steps you're taken there. But I also love him as a poet because he's so technical. He's so in love with the language, and yet the result is so beautiful and so meaningful that it seems to smooth over that. This is a poem that we did at school, and I hated poetry at school because of the poems that we read, and partly because of the whole school format, I expect. But this poem I thought was very interesting because I did grow up in a church-going family, and I always describe myself as a post-Anglican poet now. And there seemed to be, for the first time, I had a glimpse of a struggle with faith. And since then, I've been very touched when people from completely other parts of the world, and certainly not from Christian traditions, and have quoted this poem to me, so that it leapfrogs the Christian context. It could just be a poem about love. And I think that that's very touching. I'm very touched when someone from a completely different tradition and speaking with a very strong accent can recite this poem. So it seems to me an oddly unifying poem, despite being a religious poem. Heaven by George Herbert. Oh, who will show me those delights on high? Echo. I. Thou, Echo, thou art mortal, all men know. No. Wert thou not born among the trees and leaves? Leaves. And are there any leaves that still abide? Bide. What leaves are they? Impart the matter wholly. Wholly. Are holy leaves the echo, then, of bliss? Yes. Then tell me, what is that supreme delight? Light. Light to the mind, what shall the will enjoy? joy. But are there cares and business with the pleasure? Leisure. Light, joy, and leisure. But shall they persever? Ever. I chose this poem because I think it's such an interesting companion to the famous poem Love by George Herbert, because it's a dialogue poem and because it's so clever with the language. I mean, it's almost playful. Echo doesn't just echo the last syllable, but often echoes the last part of a word. So from pleasure, echo takes out leisure, and from persevere takes out ever, and from bliss, yes. And the poet in me loves that as a kind of technical game. But of course it's a religious poem again, and there's that sense of something occult inside the language which Echo is drawing out, in fact, which George Herbert is drawing out for us. I'm very touched by that. And it seems so lightly done, because technique always seems light in a way. It seems like a game. And then suddenly it turns out something quite profound has been said. When I was looking through Love, I noticed the "Who made the eyes but I?" A line I know, and I realised I make the same eyes that you look out of, and I myself, pun, in a poem in my last book. And although I know that I know this line, I'd forgotten that, so I'm sure there's lots of subliminal influence. But also I know quite consciously I love paradox, and I love the way symbol, particularly religious symbol, condenses so that several things are drawn into one name or one image. And that just really excites me poetically, that sense of texture.
So krumpad a geisoch, sal stigil a grwysoch, or ddod a ffordeithoch nos heno. Wel tapwch y faril, gellyngwch i'n rigel, a llanwch y ddisgyl o gwrw.
Visit audible.co.uk/guardianaudio to choose from a selection of over 60,000 titles. With Audible, you can make more time for books by downloading and listening wherever you are and whatever you're doing.
A gwrwch y drysa i foes y cwsila rewch greso.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.